The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Jeremiah chapter 17. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed are you. Thank God. How blessed you are right now, this morning. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, you know, I don't particularly feel all that blessed this morning. Half my family has influenza A or walking pneumonia. I seem to be in chronic pain. There's discord within the family. The numbers just came out this last week, and rampant inflation has robbed my fixed income to the point where I don't know if I can afford just the basic groceries. And this winter weather, this cold, has really got me quite depressed. So I don't know. I don't feel all that blessed this morning. Trust me, I get it. I don't always feel blessed either. But the truth is, we are. Thanks be to God, our blessedness is far more than that. It is far more than a mere feeling of blessedness or happiness. In our gospel reading from Luke chapter 6, The first few verses of our gospel reading are very important to the rest of our reading because they reveal the very heart of our Savior. Now, Jesus, in the context here, Jesus just spent all night on the mountain. He went up to a mountain to pray to his Father, and he was there all night, and he had just called his 12 disciples to himself, and that is where our text begins. He came down from that mountain. He came down with them, his disciples, and he stood at a level place. And what does our Savior do when he descends from that mountain and he sees the crowd there on that plain? He sees them all gathered around him. He heals them. He freed them from unclean spirits. He uses his divine power to heal them all, the text says. And then he preaches to them, teaching them the wisdom that leads unto salvation. So just as that's where our gospel reading begins this morning, that's where you and I need to start as well. In Christ, we see the very heart of God. We see that in his heart is love and mercy and forgiveness and healing. He heals, he frees, he liberates. This is the very face of God toward us sin-riddled, afflicted, sinful human beings. And he preaches. He tells us his word, and he teaches. He teaches you and I. He teaches us the wisdom of God that leads unto salvation. And we hear that divine wisdom as he begins to teach. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of Christ, the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day. More than that, leap for joy when that happens. For behold, your reward is great in heaven." So they did to the Father, so the fathers did to the prophets who came before. So you are blessed, and you can even leap for joy when you are persecuted, when the world hates you, when you're excluded, when you're reviled and spurned because of your faith in Jesus Christ and in his word. You can rejoice when that day comes, when that persecution comes, because you have certainty that another day is coming, the last day, the day in the future, the day where the Lord is going to graciously descend and he is going to raise us up to be with him in his presence eternally. And he will free you, he will redeem you from all evil. And you are blessed on that day in the future, that final day, because you are blessed this day. You see, the Lord blesses us, and he blesses us when he reveals to us that without Christ, without our Savior, we are hopeless. We are poor. We are hungry. We are weeping. We are poor in spirit because we know that our sins have racked up a debt that we cannot repay. We hunger and thirst for righteousness, a righteousness that is not our own, because if it were, we were in trouble. But a righteousness that is not our own, Christ's righteousness that is given to us by God's grace through faith. We weep because of the pain and the sorrow and the heartbreak of our own sin, as well as the sin of others done unto us. We are blessed when the Lord comes to us and he reveals to us the holy, proper position of believers before God Almighty. Think of the position that we take when we come up to the Lord's Supper and we come and we receive the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We are here in the bodily presence, the real, true presence of our Lord Jesus. And we come before him, before our Savior, and we bow on our knees. we come before him on our knees, and we cling to him in his word and in his sacrament. With nothing in our hands do we bring, but we simply receive from our Lord Jesus everything needful, everything that is needed to support this body and life, as well as our eternity. Because when we are on our knees, dear saints, everything needful, and we receive everything needful from Christ, from whom all blessings flow, that's when, as we heard in Jeremiah 17, our Old Testament reading, that is when we are like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots into the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It's not anxious in the year of a drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So, dear baptized believers in Christ, you are blessed. You are blessed because the Lord Jesus Christ knows why you have come to him. He knows why you have gathered around him this morning, around his word and around his very bodily presence. And just as Christ came down from that mountain in Luke chapter 6, and he comes down to the people who are in great need of him, of his healing, of his word, and of his teaching, he comes down to you this morning. Not in wrath and in punishment, but he comes to you and he brings with him joy and comfort and forgiveness. And he fills your hungry souls with the bread of life, Christ himself and his word. And he turns your tears of sorrow to tears of joy. But if you have not come here this morning in that holy, proper position, humbly on your knees, poor and hungry and sorrowful over your sin, then woe to you, Jesus says. Woe is bad. Like, really, really bad. This is not what you want to be hearing from Jesus Christ. Woe to you. If that is what you hear from your Lord Jesus, you need to repent, as we all do. You should humbly get on your knees and return to that proper holy position before God Almighty, one of complete and utter dependence upon him and trust in God alone for all things, with nothing in your hands, just simply receiving what he gives and the blessings that he gives, everything needful in this life and for eternity, forgiveness, life, and salvation in Christ alone. Yet, even the woes that come from our Savior's lips are filled with mercy and love and grace. He doesn't want us, he doesn't want anyone in open, unrepentant sin, living a life of rebellion against him and against his good design for our lives, ultimately, therefore, rejecting his love and his grace and his forgiveness and his mercy. So he says, woe! He does this to get us to stop, to turn around from the impending cliff that lies up ahead. He says, stop, return to me, return to the loving arms of Christ, return and lead God-pleasing lives full of fruit, lives of faith in Jesus. So the woes are important too. Woe to you who are rich, Jesus says, for you have received your consolation. Eternal blessedness cannot be found in earthly riches. The only consolation, as Christ himself says, is in this life. As Jesus says elsewhere, they've received their reward. But in God's great reversal, as he exalts the lowly and he brings low those who exalt themselves, in that great reversal, their consolation will be in this life only. But Christ blesses you with eternal riches in heaven. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger, Jesus says. Woe to those whose stomach is their god, filled with gluttony and sinful pride. And once again, in God's great reversal, in eternity, they will be hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for forgiveness, and for mercy, but at that point they will find none. But blessed are you who are in Christ. No matter what your earthly wealth might be, for you, on that day, will be ushered into the great eternal wedding feast, where you will be filled with the finest of food and the most abundant food you could ever imagine. Woe to you who laugh now, Jesus says, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to those who amuse themselves to death, saying, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Woe to those who are secure in their sins, giddy about their godlessness. Once again, in Jesus' great reversal, their reward is in this life and this life only. Woe to you when men, all men, speak well of you, for so did their fathers do with the false prophets. Woe to those who care more about their status and power and popularity before men than they do holding fast to Christ and the truth of his word. For that is why false prophets are so popular and prevalent. They give the sinful flesh what it wants to hear. The sinful flesh doesn't want to hear the woes, they only want the blessings. And that's why the sinful flesh seeks out false prophets, so-called pastors, who will sprinkle some Jesus glitter over sinful pride and arrogance and greed and the perversion of all that God says is good and right and holy. And in our culture today, it's quite easy for the flesh to go and find such false prophets who will preach exactly what their itching ears desire to hear. But to that, Jesus says, woe to you. You see, the woes are important too. These woes are big, bright warning signs designed to get you back away from the cliff, to humbly return to your knees, and to receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for sinners. Apart from Christ, our lives are nothing more than woe, nothing but woe. If our hope is in anything other than Jesus Christ, in this life only, we're doomed. Doomed eternally. And that's, you could try as hard as you can, and that's what is Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ has not accomplished your salvation, if he has not died for you and risen for you, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins, doomed eternally. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Eternal joy. Christ has accomplished all things needful for your salvation. And this is in the greatest of reversals. God comes down and becomes poor for us. You see, those beatitudes, those blessings, are about Jesus. God became poor for us. The Son of God hungered in the wilderness for us. He wept as he entered into Jerusalem for us. He was hated, insulted, excluded for us. He was cast out and crucified outside the gates of Jerusalem for us. He paid. He paid that insurmountable debt that your sins owe with the very blood of the Son of God, the God and man, Jesus Christ. He paid the price in full, and he rose again victoriously over the grave. And in his grace and in his mercy and in his love for you, he comes down. Once again this morning, he comes down and he delivers it all to you. He comes down, he delivers it to you, and he blesses you. He blesses you with all good things, allowing you now, just as we do when we are done with the Lord's Supper, he allows you to stand and now go out in service and in sharing that same love with others. Don't look to your earthly circumstances to determine your blessedness. Don't do it. Because if you do, you will most certainly be disappointed. There will certainly be times where you doubt that you're blessed at all. You are blessed because Jesus is blessed, and he gives you
his blessing. Blessed are you who are united through the waters of holy baptism to him. Blessed are you who hear his promise and you believe his word. Blessed are you who remain in Christ and confess his name even in the midst of persecution and suffering. Blessed are you who kneel before him and receive his gifts with thankful, grateful hearts. Like I said, I get it. You may not always feel blessed, but you are. And thanks be to God that this blessedness that you have given to you in Jesus Christ is far more, far greater than any mere feeling. It is far deeper than that. Well, I do hope that you have happiness in your life. I do hope that you can smile every once in a while. I do hope that that same happiness that Christ desires for you fills your life. But at the same time, we know that happiness can be fleeting. Blessing, being blessed by God, is far more than that. It is far deeper than that. Blessedness is being in that right, holy, proper relationship, that right, holy, proper position before your God in heaven. It is being his beloved child and knowing that and trusting in him. The blessedness that you have is confidence in the forgiveness of all of your sins on account of Christ. It is certainty of the eternal life that you will share with your Lord Jesus forever, the assurance of eternal salvation. For this is the wisdom of Christ. This is the wisdom that he teaches. This is the wisdom that leads to eternal life. For you know, and you believe. You believe in the object of your eternal happiness, your eternal blessedness. You believe in Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, your Savior. You are blessed. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.